will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him. We'll sing, He leadeth me. Church. So if you're listening and you've been wondering about coming but a little bit hesitant because there wasn't anybody masking up or not very many, well, I just want you to know that that's not the case here today. There's a lot more masks than we've ever seen before. If you don't wear a mask, it's just like you're all old enough to know where to sit. If you stay up too close sitting next to somebody that doesn't have a mask on, well, they move to a different pew or something like that. But we just are glad that you are here, and those of you who are listening, we appreciate that. And I just want to let you know that I came to that conclusion as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 through 23, where it's the Apostle Paul who is speaking, and he says this: though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone. What's the reason for that? And he says here, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became the weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So that is really the reason is we become all things to all men. If it helps for people who would like to come to church and it's just wearing a mask to do that, by all means, I think it's something that we can do. And it's just for the sake of the gospel that we can hear God's word and to be together. There's something about being together that you can't replace. And of course, God knew that from the beginning when he started this church. So rather, just want you to know that that's kind of where we're at as far as a church. And we'll continue to do that, and we'll reevaluate at our next meeting in November, and we'll kind of go from there. So I hope all of you enjoyed the white stuff that you saw outside today. You know? Of course, I can't see a smile because the other guys got a mask on. So, just remember, there's more on its way. Okay? And I'm glad I didn't have to shovel yet, but that will probably be coming. But I do want to share with you some things that are in the bulletin. You know that Bob Floss, Thursday, had a hip replacement in Sioux Falls. He got home Friday afternoon. He is at home. So Bob, and Lisa, if you're watching, a blessing to you. But if not, you're probably sleeping in bed today, or you're at the breakfast table. But we're glad that everything went fine, from everything I've heard from texting with Lisa. And Jeff Kyle is here. He had a hip replacement a few days before. That was on Monday, wasn't it? Unbelievable. And so he's out walking around. He's got a cane, but it's just for balance. Pretty amazing. And then Walt and Cheryl Meyer, just let you know that Walt will have to stay in the hospital in the swing bed for about, we're saying like another 3 weeks. But he was eating good yesterday. He was smiling. He was giving everybody a hard time, the nurses, as they came into the room to give him his cup of pills. And so his blood count was going up. And so they've kind of stopped chemo. And so that's probably why his blood count is going up, the red cells, the white cells. And so they're just kind of just waiting to see what's going to happen there. He did not have any infection that had gone around the heart or around his port that they put in him. So that's all good news, too. So keep them in your prayers. Keep Walt and Cheryl in your prayers. It's not an easy time for them, because I'm sure if you've ever been to the hospital or in a room, time goes by so slow. And it seems like you're in there forever. And you can't go visit them either. So that doesn't help matters either. So keep that in mind. Also, just to be, we've been reminded about the Lake Park house that caught on fire, and the family lost everything that was there. Some of you are looking and have probably donated some things already to this family. They're a family that are the friends of some of our Joy Kids that come on Wednesday night. And so if you have anything you'd like to give or want to know what you can give, I would just say, call the church office. Or we have Nancy over here.
I do. And Lilia is here today. And she is the one who has asked us to pray, first of all, for this family. And I've already received some financial help from generous members of the congregation, and it's been approved to bring some items and bring them into the fellowship hall to the north end. And Liliana, if you have any more to say, or what they, you know, that they need.
I'm cooking a dinner tonight, so I will ask them what else they need. I do know a bunch of people have donated furniture and beds and stuff. They're just trying to get a storage shed to put it in until they can find a place. So if you know any places for rent even, you know, I can pass that along. I do know that they're looking for a new place to stay.
Sure. That's really kind of the biggest need, is finding another place to actually move into, isn't it? So yeah, well, Nancy, do you want to be the point person? If you've got any questions, anything, call Nancy Letcher. And come on down, you're the next Also, as you came into the church today, you probably noticed that there are baskets on some tables out there with some things in there, some things that people have taken time to put some concoction of different things in those baskets. And that's a fundraiser that goes for Reaching the Outreach. That's to Pastor Tim and Bev. Bev is here. And Bev, you want to mention anything about that?
Yes. Thank you so much for your donations of baskets. And on the baskets, there is a there's a price of how much the basket cost to put together. And so there's some envelopes out there. If you would like to purchase a basket, you can put your money in an envelope and put it in a little box. And there's also some pizzelles and some caramel corn out there too, also perishables. So I hope you'll do some Christmas shopping. So.
Thank you, Bev. And you know what's happening next Sunday, don't you? Mm-hmm. You fall back 1 hour on your clocks on Saturday night. And so church will be regular time, but it'll be a different time. You get one extra hour of sleep. How about that? You all love that, I can tell. You all look the same.
All Saints Day, too, next Sunday.
What's that?
All Saints Day.
All Saints Day is next Sunday. For those of you that didn't know that. And also, there's also one other thing. There's a shopping cart in the foyer in the narthex that is for Operation Christmas Child. There's also some a piece of the paper in there that tells you that some of the things that, if you don't know what to give, it's got a list of things that you can give. And so Carol Banta is ahead of that. And if you'd like to help just in sending boxes, like mailing them, that is above and beyond, you know, getting a box put together type of a thing. So if you've got any questions, see Carol Banta. And Carol, you are right over there. So anything else you want to say?
If you'll have your items to church by November 15th.
Be done by November 15th. All right. That's all the announcements that I'm going to make. We'll just have a word of prayer for the friends of Lily here today, and we'll continue on worshiping the Lord together with a song that says, "Lead on, O King Eternal." Heavenly Father, let us bring before you these friends of Lily, and Lord, if they're friends of Lily, they're friends of ours, and if there's something that we can do, that we can learn about, that we can help along the way as they, I'm sure, something they did not anticipate in their lives, to think that their house would burn down and everything in it, all their possessions. I think they lost some pets as well in the house. And so it's just a real tragic, shocking kind of a time for this family. And we thank you, Lord, for the things that Lily has been able to do for them. And as she's cooking a meal for them tonight, that if we can help along the way, Lord, as it seems like there are some who already have, we are grateful. And we just pray that we can gather some things together or give some cash that would be helpful at this time. But we pray, Lord, that most of all, that they would be able to find a place where they can live, a place that they can say, well, this is home, and I don't know how you can help them out in all of that, Lord, but there's people here who know people, that they know people, and word gets out. You never know what can take place. And so we just pray that you would work in a way that would just amaze all of us, and most of all, these friends that have lost everything, that they would realize that it would be for people and for God himself, that there would really be no hope. But there's always hope, and nothing is impossible with God. When we bring our prayers to you, and we just ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. responsive reading today is Psalm 46, and it really is a psalm where Martin Luther, which is also Reformation Sunday today, where he wrote his, one of his hymns that's probably the best, the most well-known one is "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," that we'll sing following this. But this is just a Psalm 46, and Martin Luther wrote this psalm with this psalm in mind, as well as some of Paul, the Apostle Paul's teaching, as well as some things that you read about in the book of Revelation. All are combined in this psalm that we'll sing following this responsive reading. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea,
though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells.
God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day.
Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought upon the earth.
He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us stand as we sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." As you come in, if you'd like to give an offering, they are there. there for you. And I've never done this before in my entire life, which I am a really old man, you know, that I've never done just a sermon that focuses on Reformation Sunday. And the real Reformation Sunday doesn't really happen until Saturday, which is Halloween. So I just kind of want to share with you a very important verse. And I must also remember where I put my sermon for today. That's always helpful, too. I just want to read one verse from Romans chapter 1. Verse 17, it says this: "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this one verse that we can look at together here today, have a little bit of church history that goes along with it. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this time in history where things are a little bit uncertain and things are a little bit crazy in a lot of different ways. And we're glad that you are our fortress. And may you truly be that stronghold that all of us here need in each of our lives. And so use your word today and the things that I'm able to share in a way that will fall on good ground in the hearts that are here today, and we can apply it to our lives, and to leave today different than the way we came in, knowing that we've been strengthened or that our faith has come alive in a way that it never has been before. And so, Lord, only you can do this through your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. 503 years ago, this coming Saturday, is when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. So that makes him a German. I'm 100% German, but I don't speak much Deutsch at all. But the Protestant Reformation began on October 31st, 1517. It's a long time ago. And the reason I want to do this today is because this is part of our heritage. Growing up, I mean, I went to a Lutheran church, a rural church in North Dakota. But I had, you know, somebody asked me, "So why are you Lutheran?" And I would go like, "I have no idea. I don't know why I'm Lutheran." And I went to the service. You had to put on, would go on your dog tags. Like, what faith do you have? And so I said, "I'm Lutheran." And so that was put on my dog tags. But if you'd ask me what a Lutheran is, I'd say, "I have no idea. That was just a church I went on occasion growing up." And so some of you may have a little background like that as well, and some of you probably go like, "I've never attended a Lutheran church till I come to Harbor of Joy." You know, there's a lot of different ways. And we go back to the Reformation over 500 years ago. It wasn't just Martin Luther, but there was John Calvin, where you have the Reformed Church. You have, like, that's where the Baptist Church comes from today. You have Arminius. I don't remember his first name, but he's kind of a reformer back in that time, too. So there was something that God was doing at that particular time in history where he was stirring the hearts and lives of people when it came to really worshiping him, and to do it in a real way versus just in a way out of the motions. You know, just you did this because you did it, and it's because the church told you to do it. So Martin Luther is kind of what I'm focusing on here today, because At the time that Martin Luther was and these other reformers, there was only one church that you would go to, and that would be a Roman Catholic church. And this is 1517. The Roman Catholic Church probably came into being with their first pope in about the 300 AD area, somewhere in there. And so things have been the same. There was a big split in the Christian Church in 1054 AD, where it became the Eastern Orthodox Church, and then the Western Church was from Rome, Italy. And so there's two different big churches at that time, and there's two different popes at that time, and it was things were going on that I don't quite understand even today. But if it wouldn't have been for Martin Luther, do you know that we probably wouldn't have any hymn books? He wrote, well, the first hymn book that he had, there's like 23 songs, 23 hymns. And one of his most famous ones, like I said before, is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, is one that he wrote. He played the lute. Anybody know what a lute is? Yeah, okay, that's good. I was hoping it'd be like a guitar. He'd play the guitar. He introduced playing songs in the church at that time with the guitar. Where did he get his tunes from? From the local pub or the bar. The people go down there and raise their mug going, aye, 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 oof-da, oof-da. I mean, I don't know what they said back then. But he would take the melody of what he heard that the common person would know, and he would put Christian words to that melody, and he would teach that to the people. Kind of a contemporary singing. And people in the community, he would teach them in the afternoons. They could come to the church and learn these songs and sing them, and then they could sing them again on Sunday. And it was surprising how many people came, because people only spoke German, and if they went to church, they would hear the homily or the sermon was in Latin. And they didn't understand Latin. You'd have to be probably a very well-educated person to understand Latin, and there wasn't too many of those at the time. So people, as they go to church, they would listen to the priest, and they wouldn't understand hardly anything in that church service, just like today, right? And we don't have that barrier of language. But that's what you found in 1517. And so Martin Luther did what the Catholic Church did not like. He began to speak his sermons in German, where the people for the first time were going like, oh, now we understand what you're preaching on, and you're reading from God's Word, because they didn't know before. The Vulgate, which was the Old Testament, that was translated into the Latin language, is called the Vulgate. And so that's really what the priest would probably preach from, is the Vulgate. So have you heard of the Vulgate before? Yeah, it's a little history going on here today. I didn't know what the Vulgate was either until I went to seminary. Never heard of it until then. So that's one of the things that Martin Luther brought into the church. There are other things. If it wouldn't be for him, that we'd be listening. You'd be listening today in the Latin. I'd have to be preaching in the Latin. But then again, I wouldn't be a pastor by any means. I wouldn't be a priest because I never wanted to be one. But we would be going to confession, and you would be confessing your sins to someone on the other side. I'm not sure what that would look like, but they could hear you, but couldn't really see you. And Martin Luther, when he would go to confession, he would confess for 6 hours. Can you imagine a priest who would say like, oh no, here comes Luther. I got to listen to this guy for 6 hours. Because Martin Luther believed that you had to confess every sin that you could think of in your whole life. And one of his mentors told him, Luther, lighten up. You don't have to do this every day. But that's kind of what he's like. He was very sensitive to sin and to his relationship to God. He was also the one who brought in the not only the guitar, but the organ and the piano for music. Because of him, we have confirmation. There's a catechism that he put together. And the reason he put it together, it's called Luther's Large Catechism. That was for the adults. It's for the family. And then there was Luther's Small Catechism, which is for the kids, the teenagers. And the dad of the home was to read the small catechism with his kids or have them read it, and then he would check up on them, and he would, and Luther said that the fathers, if they checked up on this, if the kids were not reading the small catechism, then they should not eat. Go like, whoa, I'm gonna start doing that with my confirmation kids. You're not studying, then you don't eat until next Sunday. I don't think that applies. The large catechism was for the adults. And it was because that the people had no idea what was in the Bible. So the Reformation is more of a back to the Bible movement. What does the Bible teach? What does it say? And you had to put that into the language of the people. And that was a big thing that Luther was a part of, and it was also something that he would have to answer to the Pope in Rome, Italy, one day through this time. And so when it comes to salvation, what was taught at this time of Martin Luther is that salvation was by faith and by works. A person had to work along with their salvation in order to go to heaven. And then there was purgatory. Everybody who died went to purgatory, which is the limbo place between heaven and earth. And the way you got out of purgatory is that you have people praying for you or people giving money to the church so that you get out of purgatory and get into heaven. But nobody knew when that would take place. So there was that teaching that was going on called indulgences that people would have to pay to the church or give something to the church so that their sins would be forgiven. And so that's kind of the way things were at back in 1517 and prior to that. And so Luther said, there's nowhere in the Bible where it talks about that. And so he came up with 95 statements where he believed that the Roman Catholic Church was not teaching from the Bible. And he had to answer for those 95 statements in front of the Pope and his cronies and refute them. But what he found when he went to Rome and they held him accountable before the Pope, Luther said, show me in the Bible where I am wrong on my 95 theses and I will recant. I will say that I am wrong, and I will apologize for writing these statements, or I will say, don't listen to me. They didn't do one. They didn't even look in the Bible to prove to him of saying, this is where you're wrong. But the Pope basically said that he is a heretic, he should not be a Roman Catholic priest, and to be a heretic meant that you are to die. And at that time, you would die by either being hung or by being burned to the stake. And Martin Luther was kidnapped by his Prince Frederick the Wise and taken to the Wartburg Castle for a number of years. And nobody knew where he went. But there was the bull, it's called a paper bull, which is a document that only the Pope could do, that if anybody found Martin Luther, they had the green light to kill him. And so that's kind of a little bit of background about Martin Luther. So you can read about, there's a few books, I got one here called Here I Stand, The Life of Martin Luther, and it's very interesting. But that's kind of gives you a little bit of an idea, because we're a Lutheran church, that's kind of goes along with this man called Martin Luther. The big teaching of the Protestant Reformation that was huge in the life of so many people, it was the doctrine of the justification by faith alone. Remember, it was you would be saved by, salvation was by faith and by works. Luther said, the Bible teaches that we're justified by faith alone, not by works. And where Martin Luther got that, it was in the verse that I read to you this morning, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And if we look further into the book of Romans, we will find some other interesting things I'll get to here in just a little bit here. One of the things about Martin Luther is he had a question that really that haunted him, that he dealt with every day in his life. It was this: how can a sinner please a holy and righteous God? Martin Luther knew he was a sinner. And so he was wondering, well, when do I ever do enough where God is going to be pleased with me? Have you ever had that question in your life at one time or another? I have. I thought you had to be a good person. You had to do things that God would want you to do, and then God would be happy with you. The more good things you did, the happier God would be with you. And that was how you lived your life. But then the thought comes, well, when do you ever do enough? When do you ever do enough good things where God is pleased with you? And the answer to that is, you never know. But the big thing is the same thing that Martin Luther found out, where he said, when he read this scripture, it set him free. It is that the righteous will live by faith. How are you right before God? You are right when you believe in His Son. When you believe that His Son died on the cross for you, you paid the price for your sins. And so therefore you say, Lord, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I thank you that Jesus died in my place. And it's the blood of Christ that covers us. And when God looks at us, he sees us just as if I never sinned. Justified by faith as we trust in Christ. He did it all for us. And so one of the things that I teach in confirmation class with the confirmants is, you know, we have the Ten Commandments that tells us in one word to always do. Do this or don't do that. But when it comes to the gospel tells us in one word, done. God has done it all for you, just for you to come by faith and to believe that he sent his one and only Son to die in your place to be forgiven. And he is the one who gives eternal life, gives salvation to those who believe. And so that is what Luther got in trouble for way back 500 years ago. And so we find in our text here today, it says, for in the gospel, what is the gospel? The word gospel means good news. That's what it means, good news. And it is good news what God has done already for us in sending us his Son, who becomes that perfect lamb, that perfect sacrifice, that substitute for us, that we become righteous before God because of what he did on the cross. And he rose again on the third day. So the gospel means good news, it means done, that God has done it all, and it's all what God has done for you, and it's not what you do for God. That is when you know that you've done enough. And it's not you who done it or me who's done it. God did it for you through his son. And because of that, salvation comes. And then I want to serve him, and then by my faith, I do the things that I do. I don't do it for myself. I don't do it for a pat on the back or to get accolades from other people. I do it because God has saved me and forgiven me. And therefore, I serve others and love others like he, his son did, Jesus Christ. The latter part that we find in that verse in Romans, verse 17, it says, the righteous will live by faith. Do you know where that comes from? It comes from the Old Testament. A book in the Minor Prophets, it's probably in the shiny pages of your Bible because you never go there, you never read it. The book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 4. Do you know the book that comes before Habakkuk? Hey, we should have some prizes we could give away here. What book comes before Habakkuk?
Nahum.
Yeah. The sound of a horse. A horse, neigh. And then hums. Nahum. What book comes after Habakkuk? Anybody know?
Zephaniah.
Yeah, Zephaniah. You must be looking at your table of contents.
I've got my Bible.
At least you're using your Bible. That's good. So we find that little book of Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets, where it says way back in the Old Testament, the righteous will live by faith. That is what Martin Luther was looking for. And you could be here today knowing, like, that's what I need to hear too. I am made right before God by faith, by just simple faith in believing what Jesus has done for me. Period. It set him free. If we look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1, there we will find when it says this. We have been justified by what?
Faith.
So there you get it. We're justified by faith. And it goes on to say what we have because we're justified by faith. You go to Romans 8:1. I love this verse. It says, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, the devil will want to come and make us feel guilty and accuse us of different things and say, no, you're not a Christian because you still do this and you've done that. You just take them to this verse and say, God doesn't condemn me. He's forgiven me. And therefore, I am not condemned to go to hell anymore. I know that I'm going to heaven because of what Christ has done for me on the cross, and he rose again on the third day. That's my assurance. We go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Did you hear that? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Verse 9, it says, and not by works, lest any man should boast. Salvation and to be saved is a gift that God gives to us. That was the message of the Protestant Reformation. It's what the Bible teaches, that God wants to have a relationship with you. And he pursues you. Because he wants you to have a faith that is real and personal. Can you say that you have that today? I hope you can. So I want to conclude with just saying this, that in the gospel, a righteousness comes to us from God by faith, not by works. And the doctrine of justification by faith is good news for all of us today. Because Jesus did it all for you and for me. Any questions? Seeing no hands, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that tells us so plainly and so clearly that we do not have to wrestle with being righteous, but that you have done it all for us, and for us to just look to Jesus Christ as our Savior, and to know that he went there not because he wanted to. He went there because he loved us. And that there is no other way for us to receive forgiveness of our sins. He had to become our substitute and our sacrifice, that we may be forgiven. We thank you, Lord, that you rose again on the third day like you said you would. There has been no one in history who has ever said that I'm going to die, and on the third day I'm going to come back to life. There may have been people who said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to come back one day or whatever it is, and people are still waiting. They waited their whole lives, and they died, and generation after generation, and they never came back. But Jesus is the only one in history who lived on this earth, lived a perfect life, and took our place for all mankind, the sins of everyone, and died for those sins. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So we thank you today, Lord, for this. And then you give this gift to all who will just come, and we'll receive it. And we receive it by faith. We believe it. We trust in it. A lot of it we don't even understand. But we know that it is true. It comes from your word. And we can always trust your word. So Lord, if there's anyone here today who is not trusting in Jesus Christ as his or her purpose, or her, her or him as a personal Savior. Today is that day that it can happen. And it's very simple. It can be boys and girls, young, middle-aged, and old alike. By just saying, Lord, I realize today that I'm a sinner. And I need your forgiveness in my life. Please forgive me and come into my life and live through me as well as in me, as I want to live for you in the days ahead. That's really all it is. For some people it sounds strange, it sounds stupid. But yet it's a gift of eternal life to those who will believe it. And it's a life changer. To be free from our guilt, our shame, and our sin. Jesus cleanses me like snow. Makes me white. Brings me into that relationship with God the Father. Have fellowship with Him today and every day. So Lord, use these words today. You used them 500 years ago or better. May you use them today in 2020. Because they're just as real or just as powerful today. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together, followed by the Lord's Prayer and the benediction. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God Almighty. He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. May you pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I want to read a benediction that we find in Jude. Jude is a little book that comes right before the book of Revelation. And it says this: to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. We'll close by singing Stand Up, Stand Up for Jesus, Sharon. Is that the one? Is it one verse, two, or it's two? And so let us do what the song says. Let us stand up as we sing this song together. And I'll just stay here and sing along with you.